Association of Mining and Exploration Companies. It's also known as AMEC, and they are the lobby group behind this report out today. Warren, good morning.
Good morning, Nadia.
I want to get to land access in a moment, but first, can I ask you about miscellaneous licences and levying a rate on those licences? Why should miners be exempt? Why shouldn't they pay?
Well, the reason we've always been exempt from paying on miscellaneous licences is because we already pay rates on the same ground in the form of mining and exploration and prospecting licences. So it's not like this is an argument about should we pay rates. We pay rates, we're happy to pay rates, but we pay the vast majority of rates in these regional local governments through our mining leases, exploration licences and our prospecting licences. Miscellaneous licences essentially sit over the same area, often cases sit over each other. So essentially what's happening is what's proposed or what the Supreme Court decision would enable is for us to be double dipped or double rated over the same ground. And in these shires, these regional shires, which are, I guess, in mining jurisdictions, we're often overwhelmingly the highest rate payer, contributing sometimes between 80 and 90% of the total rates levied. So our feeling is we should pay rates. We also feel we also pay a lot of rates. And I think it often goes unappreciated that most of the companies that are mining companies, as opposed to explorers or project developers, also make a large amount of voluntary contributions.
But that money doesn't go direct to local government, and local government does argue that, you know, they also do contribute to maintenance and that they should be compensated for that.
Well, the rates do go to local government, but the voluntary contributions often don't. But I think that's the sort of the key point. Does it matter if it goes to local government or it goes to the local community to support their residents? So, for example, in the shire that has brought this case, the Shire of Mount Magnet, the only rate of the companies that were going to be rated, most were explorers and have no revenue, are being asked to pay more. Of the mining company that was being asked to pay more, Amelius Resources, they've got a community benefit fund that continues to pump money into the shire every year. They support a high school program that helps young women and Aboriginal women attend school and support the high school and to make sure they get better educational outcomes. I think the outcome we're looking for here is that local communities are supported, not local governments. And I don't underplay the value of local governments or the role they have, but I think in this case, what's happened is all we're doing, all the state government is doing by putting an amendment into the Act is essentially returning us to the status quo situation, which was for the last living memory, miscellaneous licences have not been able to be rated.
So did the Supreme Court get this one wrong then? Because they have a very opposite view.
Well, we think they did. But I guess the point is this. What the Supreme Court decision actually says is the law was changed back in the 1995 Act. And although the Parliament never intended the law to change, somewhere in there when they did the drafting, they took a couple of individual sections, put them into a paragraph, and they've accidentally changed the meaning. What the Supreme Court said some almost 30 years later from it happening, when the challenge was first brought, was that actually that's the meaning on the law now says they're rateable. So we don't agree with that. We've also supporting an appeal. AMEC and our members will support that appeal going to the Supreme Court, as well as will the Chamber of Minerals and Energy. So this isn't just about our members. This is a whole of industry issue. And that's when we raise those numbers around $50 million a year. There's 3,500 miscellaneous licences across Western Australia that are paid for by the industry. The infrastructure that sits on them is paid for by the companies. It comes at no cost to local government, requires no service. We're basically being asked to pay more thanks to a loophole in the way a particular act was drafted. And that's really problematic.
And some may argue, is $50 million really that much when you look at the sort of profits that mining companies make?
Well, I'd say $50 million is a lot of money in anyone's language, but $50 million a year. And bear in mind, these companies also make large voluntary contributions to the communities they work in. And I think perhaps a conversation there is a better place to have around what our contribution should be to local communities rather than simply trying to jack up the rates.
Warren Pearce, if I can just ask you about land access in a report that you've released this morning. What is your concerns about the current situation? Because it seems traditional miners are competing with renewables and you're not happy about it.
Well, that's right. It's not just miners. So what's really happening in Australia is the established industries that have basically built our economy, mining and agriculture, are large land users. The future industries we're trying to attract into Australia, renewable, solar and wind, are also large land users, and we're all in the same place. And right now we're not playing terribly well together. And indeed, there's been a big push to try and get renewables moving quickly to support the energy transition. It's not a bad thing, but what they've done is they've skated over a whole range of things that goes to consultation with other land users, consultation with local communities. And what you're starting to see across regional Australia and regional WA is a real pushback against some of those projects because they're not doing the work to make sure the communities they're entering into actually support them being there and what and the way in which they're doing it. So what we're trying to do is get a level playing field to try and get the renewables industry to understand that the mining industry's made all these mistakes in the past and we've found the door shut to us. You've got to actually be serious about community consultation, take on board what they're asking for, and you've also got to deal with all the other land users, whether they're other industries, other land owners, and of course traditional owner groups. All of those things are really important, and if we don't get that right, what we're going to do is start locking up land, we'll sterilise resources, and we'll take a lot of economic opportunity off the table.
But the mining companies always arguing for, you know, less red tape and making approvals quicker and more streamlined. So if that's, you know, why can't we do that with renewables as well, given I guess you could argue it's a race against time. We need to get these projects up.
Well, I don't have a problem with that. My problem is this. What they're doing in that regard is renewables are approaching on an exclusive basis. So what they want is exclusive access to the land. Our position is we want to be able to get on and explore. We'd like to be able to develop mines when we make a discovery, but we're open to working with everybody else. And that's the situation that's been existing in between mining and agriculture here in Western Australia very successfully, which means it's not just about one land use, but about multiple land use. The renewables have got to come into that same situation and recognise actually you can have a wind farm and agricultural and pastoral properties. You can have mining and renewables together. What we want is everyone playing to get better together, and we want governments to play a role in coordinating that and sort of driving that cooperation.
Or is it just about giving renewables a bit of a leg up given, you know, it's an emerging industry, a new industry, whereas you've had access for quite some time?
Well, you've got to remember, the industry is the one that supports the major economic components of our state and nation. So where do the royalties come from? They come from mining projects. When you look at renewables, you're going to get a big investment up front, but after you've built the solar or wind farm, there's no ongoing jobs and there's no ongoing royalties. So you want to make sure you're getting the best possible use out of land. I'm not here to argue against renewables. That's not what we want. We want to see the renewables industry get up. We want to see them get up because it's going to help us decarbonise too. But we think that what you want to do with land use is recognise that if most of our industries are built around large land use, then the best possible land use is multiple land use. And that's where you're going to get the most productive use of the land, and we can get the best outcomes, not just for ourselves, the renewables industry, but for the state and for the nation.
So what are you arguing needs to be in place then to make it the level playing field that you don't believe it currently is?
What we want to see happen is we want to see the renewables projects go through the same consultation processes. So what happens, so let me give you a concrete example. So you can be in a situation where you have an exploration license on a particular area and you are exploring for minerals. What can happen, a lease can be given by the government to renewal projects without them having been consulted, and they can be simply, their rights have been extinguished. Now, that project may never happen. So there's a company called Toolonga Minerals, who was developing an exploration project, had a discovery, working towards building a mine. In came an overseas renewables project, Copenhagen Renewables, promising to build a solar farm. Now, 2 years later, having extinguished the rights of the explorer and the chance of building the operation, no wind farm or solar farm actually exists. And if you now talk to the company, it might be 5 or 6 years in the future. So you've got to be careful about making these decisions too early. You want to see everyone have the opportunity to move forward up until the point someone actually makes a final investment decision and starts building.
Very simplistic summary, but the current situation, and tell me if I've got this right, is that if it's a renewable, you lock it up. If it's traditional miners or agricultural, use it or lose it.
Well, that's pretty
to
much
an
how
extent,
it works for us.
Yeah.
So our situation is use it or lose it, and we support that. If no one's making ground or spending money on the ground to find out what resources are there, the lease should be taken off them.
And the same should apply to the renewables rather than locking that land up.
Absolutely. Invest or step away so someone else can.